You know, it's very easy to live lives that are encompassed by our goals and our dreams and desires. Now, there's nothing wrong. We should have goals. We should have something that we're striving toward. But many times, if God is not a part of that, then my goals are only as big as me. Go with me, please, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And if you're able to, would you please stand with me as we read verse 40 through 44? Sorry, I have to apologize because I'm looking at myself on the screen here, and sorry you have to look at this. Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 40. The Bible says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we get to meet together and we have the freedom, Lord, to be able to open your word and gather just for the purpose of glorifying and exalting your name and just encouraging one another and being challenged by your word. I pray that the message tonight would be a challenge, but also that your Holy Spirit would change us, that we would be determined, Lord, to do your will, to follow your leading in our lives, and I pray that the message would be clear. Help me, Lord, to say only what you would have me to say, and I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message this evening is Other Cities Also. Other Cities Also. We see in this context, as we try to develop a little bit of context before we get to the main part of the message, in verse 40, the Bible says that Jesus is in this area of Galilee and he is ministering and he is teaching, he is healing people, and as he did many times, in the Bible, many times Jesus would use people's understanding and recognition of their physical needs to teach them of their spiritual needs. I have found that many times, I don't know if you found this or if this is a case also here in Canada, but the places where I've gone just sharing the gospel and trying to reach different communities for Christ, and I have found that the areas where there's a lot of, I would say, people that are well off, the nicer homes, and I've seen some really nice homes here in this area, and but I have found that the people that seem to have all the commodities and all the money and the nicer cars and all that, it seems that those communities are the first ones to say, no, I'm okay, you know, you can go to the next house, you know, I'm doing okay. And they think that because they have all these things that make them comfortable and they don't have physical needs perhaps, that they don't have a spiritual need. And it seems like those areas where people are kind of struggling to pay the rent and they're struggling to make ends meet, those are the areas that many times respond to the gospel. And it's not because one group needs the gospel and the other group doesn't. We all need Christ, but it's sometimes our physical needs remind us of our spiritual needs. And that's certainly what was happening here. The Bible says in verse 40, when the sun was setting, so he's ministering here all day, the sun is setting, the Bible says, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. I can't imagine what that must have been like. Can you imagine what it must have been like to hear that the word goes around that Jesus is coming? Jesus is in town. Jesus is teaching not too far from here, and people start gathering. And no doubt if we heard that Jesus was anywhere near here, we would try to go and listen to him preach and teach and see how he ministers to people. And I'm sure people that didn't even believe in Jesus would try to go and hear him speak and see him ministering to all those people. So the sun is setting, Jesus is healing, he's healing every one of them, the Bible says. And in verse 41, he's even casting out devils or demons in verse 41. And he's doing all these things. In verse 42, then, the Bible tells us, and when it was day, that means he was ministering all day, all night, and now the sun is coming up again. So his day is full. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Now we understand Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He got tired. He got hungry. He needed to rest. And many times he took this time to spend some alone time with the Father. And no doubt he was trying to do the same here. And the people are not letting him go. They don't want him to leave. And then we come to verse 43. Verse 43 says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. So we'll see, first of all, our responsibility. Our responsibility. What is our responsibility? Well, let's see what Jesus did here. The Bible says, Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God. I must preach. We visited a lot of churches, and I'm so thankful for the heart for missions and most of these churches that we visit, like yours. But I know that there's a lot of other churches that the Great Commission for them is just, it seems like it's just another good ministry, like just another ministry that they have. They have maybe a pantry ministry where they help people that are in need. And if we're able to, we should help people that are in need and maybe with their physical needs. And maybe they'll have maybe a construction ministry or maybe a medical missions team or different things like that. And we should, again, if we have the opportunity, we should do those things. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can do a lot of good things and forget the main thing that as a church, our responsibility is to preach. And I'm so thankful for churches like yours where the Word of God is up lifted high and the word of God is preached. The Bible says that Jesus preached the kingdom of God. He wasn't telling funny stories. He wasn't entertaining people. He wasn't being a positive, you know, just speaker, that just motivational speaker. And there's people that do that, you know, and they'll try to tell you, you know, if you just tell yourself 10 positive things in the mirror and you believe them, you know, you can achieve and you can, you know, and they start trying to tell us the great things about how great we are, and it might work for a while. But what we need is a preached word of God. That's what changes lives. That's what changed your life. That's what changed my life. And Jesus said, I must preach. And I'm here to remind us this evening that if Jesus said, I must, then we must. If Jesus gave his life to preach, then it's probably something that is important to do. Paul said it this way, if you go with me to Romans chapter 1, Romans 1 verse 14, Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now, I don't know about you, I don't like to owe people things. I don't think anyone likes to owe anyone. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get used to the idea that we owe someone, you know, the credit card company. Or we owe someone something that we said we would do, we promised, and we never follow through. And if we're not careful, we can think, well, it's not that big of a deal, you know? It's okay. We'll try next month. We'll try next time and see if we can do something about that. Paul said, I am debtor. Now, I've thought about this. I've thought about the fact that I'm saved, and I'm so thankful to be saved. But why am I saved? And the majority of people in this world are not. When God saved me, he didn't think, well, there's something special about him. Man, if I just can save him, I'm going to really, you know, be able to use him. No. He didn't get anything special when he saved me. But he did. I was saved by grace, just by the mercy of God, just like you. But you know what that makes us? Debtors. Because there's a lot of people in this world who are not saved. And we're no better than them. If we're not careful, we can begin to think that, well, you know, I've been coming to church for a while, and I live a moral life, and I do this, and I do that, and, you know, I'm better than other people. Now, we might never say that, but Paul kind of kept that in check, understanding I am debtor. He didn't think, well, you know what? I am the Apostle Paul. Don't you know I was a Pharisee? Don't you know I studied at the feet of Gamaliel? You know, don't you know that I'm a studied man and I have this position and man, I'm an apostle? Who's going to, you know, where's the list of all the people that are going to take me out to eat? You know, who's going to bring me my coffee and my donut? Where is the most comfortable place in church? You know, my recliner. That was not his position. That was not his mindset. He said, I am debtor. Mexico City is known for several things. Mexico City is divided into 16 sections. And the one section at the southern part of Mexico City is called Xochimilco. And Xochimilco is known for three main things. One of them is their plant. They grow plants there, and they just grow. Their soil is very fertile. And so they buy plants from there and take them to other parts of Mexico City to sell. Another thing that that part of Mexico City is known for is for their canals. So you get in these little boats and you go through these canals, and it's really peaceful, really nice, and that's in Xochimilco. But a third thing that Xochimilco is known for is for something that's called a niñopa. And the niñopa, if you Google it, niñopa Mexico City, you'll find it's a doll that's about this big. It's made out of wood. And they've handed it down for generations since, I believe, the 1500s. And families in the community take turns. And they'll have this niñopa in their homes for a whole year. And then around February, they'll have a whole processional throughout the streets where they take this niñopa from one family to the next. And they'll put it in their house, and they'll have a room specifically designated for this doll, this niñopa, and members of the community will bring gifts, they'll bring food, they'll bring clothes, they'll sing to it, they'll pray to it. You'll see people, now I'm not talking about just kids, but adults, walking through the marketplace with a basket and this niñopa in one hand and their groceries in the other hand. And you think, wow, that is incredible that they would think that they can pray to a piece of wood and it's going to answer their prayers. But you know what? As long as there's people that are bowing down to idols, as long as there's people that believe like in things like this niñopa, I am a debtor. I owe them the gospel because there's nothing greater in me. There's nothing special about me that I would be saved. And that was Paul's perspective. And Jesus could have thought the same thing. Jesus could have thought, I'm the Savior. I have my apostles. Hey, apostles, go preach, go teach. Disciples, go preach. And just report back to me when you're done. But he didn't. He said, I must preach. I have to do this thing. This is important. I don't know what your musts are for this week. What are some things that you would say in the things I have to do this week, here are the things that really I need to, I must do these things. I don't know if you think like this. I tend to think like this, that I have in my mind categories. And I think in my mind I have things that I have to do now. Okay, they can't wait. I have things to do that maybe can wait a few days and it's okay. Or things that maybe one day I'd like to do. those things, one of those things that I'd like to do someday is learn the piano, learn to play the piano well. It's kind of one of my life goals. But it's been hard to find time to play the piano. At church, my wife usually plays the piano, or the other missionary wife plays the piano. But I don't really get a whole lot of time to play the piano. So it's been a while. But you know what? It's okay. If another month goes by and I don't touch a piano, it's fine. Because I don't have to do it right now. There's no consequences for that. And there's another category of maybe within the next few days is probably a good idea to do. Like, I don't know, get an oil change. You know, get a haircut. If you don't get it done today, it's all right. You know, maybe you'll have a chance tomorrow. And then we have that, no, it has to be done today. You have to go to work, you have to go today. Okay? There's a serious illness, hey, you have to go to the hospital. We're traveling a lot right now, and when that light in the car turns on that says, hey, you're on empty, you're running on fumes, I'm not going to say, well, you know, I'll get gas on Friday, it's all right, you know, it'll be okay. No, it's not going to be okay, but gas is so expensive. I know. We've been traveling, and we understand. We were in Arizona. Well, it'll be hard to use that comparison because, like in Mexico, you guys use liters. But anyway, in certain parts of the United States, it's very cheap. It's like half of what it is in California, and so it's a challenge. But you know what? We have to get gas. It's not like, well, you know, I'm gonna make a deal and I'm gonna try to barter, you know, with these people at the gas station. No, you have to get it. That's it. I wonder, within those categories, where would preaching the gospel be? Does it bother us when it's been a while since we shared the gospel? I'm not talking about how many people, you know, how many people did you bring to church, or how many souls did, you know, were saved when you go. God does that. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about, when was the last time I just shared a tract? When was the last time I went through the plan of salvation and with someone else? It's our responsibility. Not just the pastor, not just those on staff. It's our responsibility to preach. For most people, when they got saved, it wasn't necessarily a pastor that shared the gospel with them. When I was 8 years old, my dad opened the Bible and shared the gospel with me. Now, at that age, I understood I was a sinner. I understood I needed to be saved. And I'm glad my dad didn't think, well, you know, maybe someday if the pastor wants to talk to you, maybe, you know, maybe you can talk to him about salvation. No, my dad opened the Bible and said, you need to be saved. And I understood that. And I'm so thankful that that happened. So our responsibility, I must preach. Number two, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. Other cities also. Now, if you remember, the Bible says here that Jesus was in the synagogues of Galilee. He was in that area of Galilee. And if you're familiar with the geography of Israel, you know that in the southern part, you'll find the Dead Sea. And then west of the Dead Sea, you'll find Bethlehem, you'll find Jerusalem, that whole Judea area. And then if you follow the Jordan River north, you'll end up at the Sea of Galilee. And surrounding the Sea of Galilee is Capernaum, is Cana, Nazareth, and those cities are in that Galilee area. And that's where Jesus is ministering, where he spent most of his earthly ministry, in that northern part of Israel. That's where he is at this time. And he probably, it was probably an area that he was familiar with. An area that maybe some people knew him, or he knew some people. He knew people's, maybe some families there, or people knew his family. And he was ministering. Lives were being changed. And the Bible says that his mentality and his perspective was, what I'm doing here, I want to do somewhere else as well. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. In other words, I don't want just you guys, this area to know what I'm doing and what I'm teaching. I want others as well to know. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, please. A familiar passage. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. The Bible says this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, one of the things that stands out to me in this verse is what this verse does not say. Notice that this verse does not say, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, or in Judea, or in Samaria, or into the uttermost part of the earth. It says both and, right? At the same time. How are we supposed to do that at the same time? Well, that's why we understand the Great Commission and what the Bible tells us about reaching the world through the Great Commission. So it says both and. You know, as believers, one of the challenges that we have is being able to, I guess we call it time management or manage time, but we don't really manage time. You just kind of organize our lives with the time that we have. We all have the same amount of time. But one of the things, the conversations, most common conversations amongst pastors is managing time. And I remember just in the ministry and even now, just asking, how do you manage time? How do you manage time with ministry and family and just sermon preparations and visits and planning and all of those things. And everyone has, you know, I've received some wisdom from different people. But that's one of the challenges. And at a point where you think, I'm good, I am all, you know, balanced, one phone call can throw it all off, you know. And we're never really perfectly balanced with our time. But I would never want it to be said of me that I have excelled in one area of my responsibilities as a believer and neglected others. I would never want it to be true that, man, Brother Esteban is a great preacher or a great pastor, you know, and he does great, but my wife never sees me at home. And my kids don't know who their dad is because I spend all my time at church. Or that I neglect certain areas of being a pastor. Certain areas of being a dad, you know. And so I want to make sure that I'm not just excelling in one to the neglect of others. When I became a pastor, that's one of the things that I really was trying to find that balance. Jesus said both and. So we're supposed to, our responsibility is to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. I remember when I was a teenager that I had several tasks and responsibilities at home. And my mom would sometimes give us extra blessings and responsibilities. And so one time my mom was going to go to the store. I forget where she was going. And she asked me to do something. She said, I need you. By the time I come back, I want you to mop the kitchen. Now, I understood what she meant by that because she had asked me before. And I knew that mopping the kitchen meant first sweeping the kitchen, okay, and then we had a dining room area, so I had to sweep the dining room area, and then mop the kitchen, and then mop the dining room area. That was what I knew my mom wanted me to do, okay? Now, I don't know if that's news to anyone, but before mopping, we're supposed to sweep, okay? That's how I was taught, okay? Usually, the moms are the ones that are going, yes, and I get confused looks from the guys, all right? But that's okay. We learned something new today. So we're supposed to sweep and then mop. Now, guess what I did as a teenager? My mom said, mop the kitchen. So I grabbed the mop and I just quickly, you know, went over the kitchen. And then I thought, hey, I'm done. So then my mom came home and she said, did you mop the kitchen? I said, yes, I did. So my mom checked and she said, no, you didn't. And guess what? I got in trouble. And I got in trouble because I was being technical with my mom. In my mind, I was thinking, hey, my mom said, mop the kitchen, and I mop the kitchen. And can't we be like that with God sometimes? Where we say, yes, God, I know you told me to go to church, but every service? I know you said we're supposed to give, but man, every service they pass out that offering plate, you know? I tried soul winning last year, and look, nothing happened. And I'm so thankful that God is not like that with us. I'm thankful that God doesn't say, well, I blessed you last year. You know, make that last. God is so good to us. He's so gracious. He's so merciful with us. But let's never do great at one area and neglect others. You saw in the video that we had our first missions conference. We were so excited because it was our first missions conference. We started supporting our very first missionary. He's a Mexican missionary, a Mexican national that is a missionary now in Mozambique, Africa. So it's really cool. We were his last church that he visited, and he's just doing a great job there in Africa. But I remember before our missions conference, I started teaching about missions and what the Bible says about missions and supporting missionaries and that whole teaching. And so I did that for about a month before the missions conference. And when missions conference time came, it was very neat and encouraging to see just everyone just so excited about giving to missions. Now, I kind of tucked that in the back of my mind and just thinking about something else. I remember when people come to our church that have been saved maybe at a different church or in a different ministry, I like to ask them their testimony and say, hey, tell me how you got saved. Tell me, you know, how what God has been doing in your life. And so they'll share their testimony with me. And I have found that there is a common thread that runs along many of those testimonies. They'll tell me something like this. Well, I used to attend this other church that was started by a missionary. And I got saved at that church, and they'll tell me the name of the church, and they'll tell me the name of the missionary, and they'll say, God brought me to that church, and that's where I got saved. And then I connected those two things together. Why is it so easy for them, even though for many of them, giving to missions was a new concept, why was it a joy for them to give to missions? You know why? Because to them, giving to missions was not just a philosophy or an idea. It was very real to them because their lives were changed by the ministry of a missionary. I mean, our church was started by a missionary. And so to them, giving to missions meant, hey, if what God has done in my life, I can help so that God can do that in someone else's life, man, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. Many times when we look at a missionary presentation, it's easy to be removed from that, isn't it? To think that, man, well, that's great that the missionary is doing that over there, but I don't really know them. Well, let me share this with you. Those people you saw in the video, this is your church family. That's ours. They're the ones that when we have fellowships, we fellowship with them. We go to their homes. They come to our homes. To our home. We laugh together, cry together, pray together, go soul winning together. I mean, that's our home church. And to us, that's not just pictures of random people. We have seen God work in their lives. We have seen the gospel transform their lives. We have seen the grace of God work in them to be more like Christ every day. And so the impact that missions has in their lives is very real for us. And you may never go to Mexico City. You may never have lunch with them. And even if you went to Mexico City, you may not be able to communicate with them. But let me encourage you to continue to be faithful. Because God is doing a great work. Not just through our ministry, through all of the missionaries that I see there on the wall. God is at work. And so the reminder here that Jesus gives us in Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. We never want to be a church that just reaches our Jerusalem and not the ends of the earth, or just the ends of the earth and not our Jerusalem, right? We want to do both at the same time. And that's what Jesus was striving to do. So we see our responsibility, we see the reminder, and then lastly, we see the reason. What is the reason why Jesus was so zealous to do this? Jesus said this way, For therefore am I sent. Therefore am I sent. He knew his purpose here on earth. In fact, the Bible says of Jesus that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says it this way, and we see the fulfillment of it in the New Testament. But Isaiah 61 1 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So Jesus came to preach good tidings. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He came to bring us spiritual freedom. He knew his purpose. He knew the reason why he was here, and that's why he said, "I must." There are things that if we're going to live a life of purpose, we have to put other things aside. If you've ever played sports, if you've ever tried or have studied maybe in a university or anything like those, the Bible college students, you know, and you have your goal, "I want to graduate and I want to do well and I want to achieve this goal," then there are times that you put other things aside that are not necessarily sinful, but they're not the most important thing. Paul said it this way, "I press toward the mark," right? Not that other things are necessarily sinful, that everything else that is not that one thing is sinful, but many times we have to put other things aside for the most important thing. Jesus said, "Therefore am I sent." Make no mistake about it, Christian. If you're here, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been sent too. I've been sent. Now you might think, "Well, I haven't been sent to Mexico or the uttermost part of the earth." I know. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a church here. But you've been sent to people around you. You've been sent to those that God has allowed you to impact directly. There are people that you know that I will never know. There are people that I know that you'll never know. But the reminder that Jesus gives us, he says, "Therefore am I sent." We should always have that goal present in our lives. You know, it's very easy to live lives that are encompassed by our goals and our dreams and desires. Now, there's nothing wrong. We should have goals. We should have something that we're striving toward. But many times, if God is not a part of that, then my goals are only as big as me. Okay? My goals are only as big as me if God is not in the picture. But let me encourage you, Christian. When you say, "God, here's my life. God, I present my body a living sacrifice. God, I want to do your will in my life. I want to make sure that at the end of each day that I can pillow my head knowing that I did your will, that I'm pleasing you, Lord. Would you please direct my life and help me to do the things that you would direct me to do, and that my priorities are your priorities." When we do that, then guess what? Our goals are as big as God. Because now I'm not living for myself. Now God has allowed us to step in to his plan for the world. It's not just, "Well, what do I want to do? What are the things I want to have done this week?" Now it's, we are stepping into his plan. We are stepping into being able to impact eternity. And I don't know about you, but I think that's amazing. I think that is such a great privilege to be able to be part of what God is doing. I'm not talking about right now, this moment, or just in your church or just in your family. I'm talking about God's eternal redemption plan for humanity. Isn't that exciting? I don't know. I get excited about that. Little old me, that God would use me to see people saved. God would use me to preach the gospel. That God would use me to have an impact on eternity. Really? God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. The Bible says that God used a donkey. When I think I'm something special, I need to remind myself of that. God doesn't need me. Oh, but he chooses to use us. And I'm so thankful that he does. Jesus said, "Therefore am I sent." What are some things that you have purposed in your life that they're going to be true of you. The Bible says of Daniel that he purposed in his heart. What are some things you've purposed in your heart? I mean, are there some things that you've said, you know what? I'm going to make sure that my life pleases God. And that means I will not do this, and I will do this. Are there some things like that in your life that are unmovable? Things that are not up for consideration because your goal is to please God. I hope so. That we're not just, like the Bible says, tossed to and fro like children with every wind of doctrine, with every new thing that comes along, and now we try this, and now we try that, and now... But that we have that firm foundation, that we have that goal, that we have that one thing that we're doing. Jesus said, I must preach. We see our responsibility, we see the reminder, and we see the reason. And we'll end with 2 Peter 3. Go with me to 2 Peter 3, please. Now, if you know the context of 2 Peter 3, you know that the Bible says that there will come a time where there will be people that will mock Christians like you and me. I mean, they'll look at us and they'll look at our faithfulness to God and they'll say, oh yeah, Christians, you all have been saying that Jesus is going to come and he's going to come and decades have passed and nothing's happened. Look, he's not here yet. But then we come to verse 9 and God answers that question for us. Why has he not come yet? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why has Christ not come? He's patient. He's long-suffering. He wants more people to be saved. That's why he hasn't come yet. Aren't you thankful that you got saved before he came? I am. This just reminds us we have a job to do. Because a lot of people are not saved. I know I have family members that are not saved. You probably do as well. Co-workers, friends, neighbors. God is being patient. But we don't know when that patient runs out. Patience runs out. He is long-suffering to usward. The Bible says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the will of God. Now, we could ask 10 people and we'll get 15 different answers as to what the will of God is, but we're not going to delve into that today. I just want to share with us that the will of God, we know, is for all to be saved. That doesn't mean all will be saved, but it means all can be saved if they put their faith and trust in Jesus. And God's not willing that any should perish. That is the will of God. And then it says, but that all should come to repentance. And so, I believe we're here because we want to do the will of God. I believe we're here because we want to please God with our lives. And so, if that's true of you today, then we need to understand, number one, that the will of God is for all to be saved. And number two, we need to ask ourselves this question. If it's God's will for all to be saved and come to repentance, then what am I doing this week so that all come to repentance? I'm not saying I can save anyone because I can't. I'm saying God wants to use us to share the message with others so that he can work in their lives. So what am I doing so that all come to repentance? Again, it's very easy to be busy about a lot of other things, and there's nothing wrong. We all need to work, and we need to go to school, and we need to wash, and we need to, you know, prepare dinner, and we need to do all those things. That's important. But let's never neglect the most important thing and sacrifice the most important thing at the altar of the good. Jesus said, therefore am I sent. Do we have it in our mind what we are here to do? Before we went to the mission field, a man in our church, a deacon in our church, asked me this question. He said, Brother Esteban, what is better than going to heaven? Now, I thought about that, and I responded. I said, well, there's nothing better than going to heaven. He said, yes, there is. Taking someone else with you. I thought, man, that's good. I don't know what the next step for you would be when it comes to preaching the gospel. I don't know if we need to emphasize more the personal soul winning or we need to do more for missions. I don't know, because I don't know you and you don't know me in that sense. But whatever it is that God would put in your heart, let me encourage you. Let's be obedient to that and let's allow God to use us in a way that only He can. And what a privilege it is to be used of God. What a privilege it is to be part of God's plan of redemption for the world. But He'll only do that if we allow Him and if we surrender our lives to Him.
Thank you for watching the message today. We invite you to join us again every Sunday and Wednesday for more inspiring messages from God's Word.